Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, last week we were called to examine ourselves before coming to the Lord's table. We were called to prepare ourselves because in order to come to the Lord's table, we must do so for our spiritual benefit, that we can come to the table in a way that would not be for our spiritual benefit. And the question is, are we coming by faith? Do we come understanding the salvation of God and how we are right with God? That is the question before us. That is exactly what Paul is striving to teach us, as the Catechism teaches us, that we come to this table recognizing that we are right with God, not by any merit of our own, but with open arms receiving the work of God by faith. And so we must come to this table by faith for our spiritual benefit. And the Catechism too asks that question, what good does it do, however, to believe all this? What benefit is there to believe all that we have said before concerning the Apostles' Creed? We have just gone through all these things about what the Apostles' Creed means. And now it asks that question. And on the one hand, I say to myself, but haven't we already seen all the ways that this confession benefits us? I mean, it brings us comfort, as we see in life, in the confession concerning life everlasting. We talk about how the resurrection benefits us. Yet the Catechism goes back to that question, what good does it do you, however, to believe all this? Because we must believe this. We must recognize that by faith we become right with God through this faith. And so that was one of the central concerns of the Reformation. It was not only 2 weeks ago that October 31 passed without much recognition by our world. Yet it was the day in which Martin Luther's 95 theses were nailed to the door of Castle Wittenberg, which challenged those teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. And Calvin says that this teaching concerning how we are right with God, this central concern of the Reformation, is what the very hint, or what was the very hinge of the Reformation. Without it, everything else failed. Everything else falls. And so, we need to look at this question, how are we right with God? Because we need to come to the table recognizing and knowing and believing how we are right with God. That it is not by any of our works. And so we can see, in many ways, summarized what is summarized in chapter 4, or Paul is summarizing in many ways in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. What he is explaining in chapter 3, and it is this. Now the one who works, his wage is not credited as favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. God treats us as righteous not because we are godly in and of ourselves. And so we are at the same time justified. We are right with God and sinner. And so as we look at that, we'll see, first of all, the accusations. Second of all, the alien righteousness. And thirdly, acceptance. In verse 9, we are told that according to the law, there is no one righteous, not even one. Both Jews and Greeks are under sin. He has already said that we must not come to this fact saying that Jews have made themselves righteous by the law, that they come through the law to God, and that the Gentiles, they fall short because they have the law written only on their hearts, and they are unable to do this. But instead, he says that both Jew and Greek, both, are under that law. They are fallen. They are corrupt. And we see here as he quotes that psalm that there is none righteous, not even one. That there is no one who understands. Meaning that the mind is fallen and corrupt. It does not know God. It doesn't even seek after God. The will of man is corrupt. No one seeks after God. And in fact, their works are useless. He says, all have turned aside together and they become worthless. There is none who does good, not even one. And Jesus said that out of the mouth pours the sinful heart. What is reflected in our hearts. And we can see those words that Paul speaks as the mouth is used only for destruction and lies. None seek after God. All must recognize that we are, by the law's standards, by God's holy and perfect standard, sinner. We are guilty. And so it says in verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. When we recognize that our God is the perfect and righteous judge, that the requirement is His holiness, His righteousness, then our mouths will be stopped. We will have no defense. We must admit that we are sinners. The law holds us all as guilty. And so in the past week, we were called to examine ourselves before that law. We were to consider our sin and our guilt. And so in your examination this week, did your conscience accuse you of having grieved against all God's commandments? Do you recognize that there is not a single commandment that you have kept, that there is no work that you can do or have done that gives you a right standing before the judge of all? As it says, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And further, our confession tells us that our conscience ought to accuse us because of that sin, because before God's commandments, we are guilty. But even though it says, I am still inclined toward all evil, Paul says later in Romans 7, for what I am doing I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. For I will joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is my members. We still have an old man that is not put to death, and it is inclined toward evil. We still sin. And so we cannot be justified if we come in our own merit, if we come in pride and in boasting like the Pharisee who looks at those around him to justify him, to say, thank you, God, for not making me like that person. And so we don't come around the table and seek our right to be around that table because I'm better than him, so I have a right. No. Our conscience accuses us. We are sinners. Martin Luther says, God receives none but those who are forsaken, restores health to none but who are sick, gives sight to none but the blind, and the life to none but the dead. He does not give saintliness to any but sinners, nor wisdom to any but fools. In short, he has mercy on none but the wretched, and gives grace to none but those who are in disgrace. Therefore, no arrogant saint or just or wise man can be material for God. Neither can he do the work of God, but he remains confined within his own work and makes of himself a fictitious, ostensible, false, and deceitful saint. That is, a hypocrite. It was not the Pharisee that walked away justified. So there may be those of us who are proud in our own right, that we think we can come to the table on our own right to fellowship with God, that we have enough in and of ourselves to be right with God. But we cannot come proud. One cannot come without recognizing that we are sinners. Yet, there is also the other side of the coin. That there are those of us who have examined ourselves in this week, and we have recognized that sinfulness. We have recognized, oh wretched man that I am. We have recognized that we have fallen short yet again, even as we are examining ourselves, even as we are calling ourselves to repentance and faith through that word. That our hearts are utterly broken, and we feel that we cannot come to the table because we are so sinful. But we must recognize that we don't come either. We must recognize that we are not held away from the table because of our sin. Because as our catechism says, there's that great word. Even though our consciences accuse us, even though we are inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, nevertheless, despite all that guilt, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. That our merit is not in our own, but instead that it is Christ's work that we are justified. We are not justified by our works of the law, but we are justified by the work of Christ, where we can stand before Jesus, before the judge of the world, and he will declare us not guilty. He has declared us not guilty because of that alien righteousness. Now, kids, when I talk about alien righteousness, I'm not talking about something from outer space. Instead, it is from outside ourselves. It is not our own. It is a justification that comes from apart from the law. It doesn't come by our work, the work of the law, but is a gift of grace. By grace alone we are saved. And so he is the one who declares not guilty, not because of our works, but because of Jesus Christ. And so he is, as verse 26 says, he both is just and the justifier. He is just because he does not wink at sin. He does not lower his standard so that we can come. He maintains his justice, his righteousness, and his holiness. And so he makes us his by pouring out his wrath upon Jesus Christ, by sacrificing him for us. This redemption that we have, making us right with God, is because of Jesus Christ, as verse 24 and 25 say, whom God displayed publicly as the propitiation in his blood, that he is the one who has sacrificed for our sakes, that his blood would cover our sins, that God would see the satisfaction price already paid for our guilt. That is why the table has such bloody imagery, a broken body and poured out blood. Because in order for forgiveness, in order for the satisfaction of sin, we need to look to that sacrifice. But it also requires a perfect obedience, a holiness. And this too is given to us in Christ. Because apart from the law, we have the righteousness of God in Christ. It is apart from God, from ourselves, apart from that law that we are under. We receive the righteousness of Christ. And so justification is that rightness before God. It has nothing to do with our best, but with God doing his best for us and giving his best for us. It is God's work. And so as we look at this third point, we recognize that our acceptance is not because of ourselves, but it is because of his work. But on the other hand, we must also accept this with a believing heart, that central to receiving this is faith. It is a faith that comes with open arms, empty of ourselves and anything that we think we can bring. It is only through faith, as that phrase is used time and time again by Paul. We see that in verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ for all those who believe. And in verse 25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. And in verse 28, we maintain that man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. One is righteous because of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, which is received through faith alone. And so, beloved people of God, this table testifies to us that this is a work of God, that we receive it by faith alone, that we should not abstain from it because we are sinners, but recognize that we are both at the same time sinners, yet also justified. That we are right before God, not because of our own standing, but because of what he has done. This means that when you walk up the aisle to partake of the table, he loves and accepts you as his own son. As his own son. And that means that whatever you've done in the past doesn't make him love you any less. Whatever you may do in the future, it does not make him love you any less. Nor anymore. You are right with God because of his grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and merciful Father, we thank you that this table testifies to us that we are in Christ Jesus, that he covers us with his sacrifice, but also that Christ Jesus is in us, and upon us we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And so, Lord, would you strengthen that union, that we would recognize and be able to explain how we are right with God. May this be a great comfort to us. May we continually receive this gift by faith. And may it spur us on toward love and good works. Not because we are trying to please you, but because you are pleased with us. Amen.